Welcome to Nothing and Zobie, South Texas Golf Podcast, episode number 106. I will have my special guest on here in a bit, but before we kick things off here, a special word from our sponsor. Presenting sponsor, Four Bros Tour. Never golf alone again. Please check us out on Facebook, on Unknown Golf, Four Bros Tour. If you don't have a home, we have a home for you. We got all different types of games, many different types of outings. We got gross, we got net, low ball, high ball, we got it all. Please join us for our Stogies and Bogies on Saturday, September 17th at the Bandit. Also, we have a big event coming up, a two-day in Corpus called Fins in Pins out in Corpus. We will be playing Oso Beach and Gabe Lozano. All right, now for my boy and special guest, Freddie Garcia. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing awesome, man. Doing awesome.
It's your time, bro. It's your time to shine.
It's Brucey time. Put me in, coach. Put me in. Come on. I'm ready.
All right. Now, for those of you out there that have been following this show or is a member of Four Bros Tour, now, you have several names you go by. Why don't you let everybody know what are the names you go by?
Man, there's a lot. My family's name is Chato. My name is Alfredo. My first name is Alfredo, which I messed up by telling you my first name because now I can't. You get Freddie, you get Alfred. Then my middle name is Arnold, which I usually go by, which everybody knows me by. And then I got a nickname. Rose was Brucey. So when this logs came in, I had like five names on there, and everybody's like, "Dude, what are you under, bro?"
That's true. Everyone's always asking me and side texting me, and I'm like. They're like, dude, who? Okay, is Freddie? Is Brucey? Is Arnold? Is that the same guy? And I said, that is him. That is, he's all the same. He's all the same guy. And they're like, okay, we got you, man. We got you. Well, thanks so much for being on, man. Hey, dude. Hey, you're one of the best characters out in the game of golf. You are. You're one of the best characters out there.
I try, bro. I try, man. I just know that. I just like being like a center of attention. I like just being like people laugh and. If I got to be the butt of jokes, so then let it be, bro. But I just like people seeing smiley, man.
Well, you're more of the ass of the jokes, though. But it's a nice ass, all right? It's a nice ass.
Thanks, sir. I've been working on my glutes.
All right, bro. So tell us, man, all right? So you're originally from Alice, Texas. And tell us how you got into the game of golf.
Man, so again, like you said, Mandy, raised in Alice, born in Alice, Coyote Pride of South Texas. But nah, man, when I first joined the old field, man, started meeting some guys around there. And then on weekends, they just started playing golf. And I was like, man, I've never really played golf, played softball, played a bunch of other sports. But yeah, when I picked it up, I'll never forget. My first set was I ran to Walmart, bought the first set I saw, which was a cheap pair of Dunlops. And I don't think my whole set was even complete. Maybe like 10 clubs in there I could maybe think. And I went out there. I didn't have a bag. I had to go to the municipal and buy like any bag that they had there. It was a cheap bag. And I'll never forget. I'm just like that boring guy that just walked on and had an incomplete set in an ugly bag.
Dude, but you know what? I think I'm sure like, I mean, you say it though. You speak about it like you remember it like it was your baby, you know, like it was your baby.
Yeah, and I remember because like my nephew's picking it up. And he's same thing too, man. He's trying to start off basic. And I told him, like, hey, it just comes with time. And I just little by little started knowing about brands, knowing about all these different things. And then as I started making more money and saving more money, then I would upgrade and upgrade. And I had like mixed bags and it was just horrible, man. Horrible.
All right. So how many clubs do you currently have in your bag right now?
It's funny you said that because when you called me out on it that time that we hung out at that Gary Allen concert. I went back and I went to Alice over the weekend and I said, hey, RJ, which is my nephew, hey, count how many clubs I have. And I hope this doesn't count against me before because I'm going to go legit now. I'm going to go legit. I had 17 clubs.
Oh shit, God, dude. That's six strokes right there, bro. That's six strokes.
So, bro, I swear, bro. I had two drivers. I had one iron that I bummed off of my nephew's set that I bought him. I had a four iron and a four hybrid. And my little chipper and plus wedges.
Okay. All right.
I'm talking about my chipper.
Okay. So you know what? Why don't you talk about your chipper, bro? I know we're jumping the story right here, but you know what? You have one of those chippers. You have like an infomercial chipper that has always been like controversial. You know, not really with me. I just give you a bunch of shit just because, you know what, you need it. You deserve it. And you thrive off of the shit, right? You manja, you need the shit, right? And yeah. But back home in Alice, like, people don't, they don't even let you use it.
Yeah. So, yeah, it started, I couldn't hit my wedges in Alice. Like, I had the 52, 50. 556 and 60.
Oh, rolling. Wait. Yeah, dude, you, I mean, you got 17 clubs in the bag, so yeah, I'm sure you got all the wedges.
All those infomercial clubs I had, man. But and the medicus too. No, I'm just kidding. But no, man. But in Alice, it was so dry that I would always chili dip. Always chili dip. I could never, man, everybody knew that that was my weak game. And then I went to Academy and I saw this little cavity bag, whatever you want to call it, Cleveland chipper. And when I bought it, Andy changed my game. Like, changed my game. Like, I could do wonders with it. From about 120 in, I can do wonders with it.
No, and so why? So why is it that they don't let you play with it? Your guys. I mean, it is a conforming club. You know, a lot of people say because you are really good with it, and you are. I've seen it up close and personal. You are good with it. But why do they not let you play with it?
I think it's a mental thing, man. I think like they know my weakness, and it's this little space in between my ears. And so the thing they give me is, hey, do they use it on tour? And I say, well, no, they don't use it on tour. And they're professionals. They don't need to use it on tour. Well, then they say, well, if they don't use it on tour, then why are you using it? And I'm like, really? So then it messes in my head. And my cousins are like the worst at it. Like, they'll literally make me take it out of my bag, leave it in my car, and then go play, because they know that once I take it out of my bag, it's already in my head.
And you know what? Honestly, I mean, that's what everybody always gets to you. Everybody always gets to you, and that's why you like it when you play with guys you've never played before, because you always say, oh, they're so nice. Everyone's so nice, and you can't play with anybody that you play with because I guess everybody's not nice, or what is it?
I guess, like, they just know me too well, man. They just know that, like, all they got to do is just hit my little hot button, and I can be, let's just call it, like, I'll be running like 5, 6, 7 holes pretty good. And they know, okay, hey, he's kind of taking off already. Let's kind of play with his head a little bit. And then they'll be like, hey, man, I don't know about that club right there, man. Or, hey, bro, I think Esther's calling you, bro. Or they'll just bust out something, or they'll slow down their pace and get on the phone. And I'm an impatient guy, and that's it. My game goes horrible. So,
oh, I'm taking notes here. I'm taking notes. All right. So why don't you tell everybody the story, like, on how we met?
10-4, man. It was the year of COVID. And I had a friend over named Gilbert Garcia that was visiting us here in San Antonio. I had just bought my home. And I saw the golf fellowship, and I told him, hey, man, let's go give it a shot, man. Let's just go give it a shot. He's like, yeah, let's go. So we went, it was at BRAC. And then that's when I saw you. And well, I mean, when they paired us up together and stuff like that. And it was like kind of crazy for me, because I'm usually like the short, loud, funny, just outrageous guy. And I met my competition. I was like, oh, hey, this guy's pretty funny. Hey, he's short too. Hey, he's dark just like me. Like, what's going on here, bro? Like, it was crazy.
I know, man. I was like this. I was like, no, I'm the short, funny guy. Like, you can't. But you know what? You just turned out to be the short, like, whiny guy. So I say, you know what? Like, we're different. So, you know, we're different. And you know what? He wears a size 7 shoe. I wear a 9. And so it's just, you know, it's just, I'm a little bit more of a man than he is. So that's okay.
Okay. Yeah. True.
All right. So tell me, what are some of your best things that you love most about the game? Because you're an average golfer. I mean, your clubs are still 5 years behind, but you, like you said, you're always trying to upgrade. You know, you're in the 90s and now you're in the early 2000s. So you're getting there, you know?
Yeah. Nah, man, but what I love, seriously, what I really truly love, because, like, I've always been competitive. I'm not saying that I've always been great at things. I played baseball growing up. Played some sports, but with golf, what I loved about it was that size had nothing to do with it. So automatically that just caught my attention, that I was like, hey, in football, I mean, you got to have speed, you got to be tough, you got to do, there's so many attributes you got to have. Same thing with all these other sports, and in golf, it was just like, hey man, if you're 6'4" or you're 5'4", I mean, it doesn't really make a difference as long as you're just being consistent, you have fundamentals, and you're just on your game. And so that's what I loved about it, was that my size had nothing to do with it. So I was like, hey, you know what? I think I can take this on.
And that's true. You know, it always matters that, you know, size for the most part in almost every sport except for like baseball and golf, you know, like it means size means shit, man. All right. So why don't you tell everybody what's your favorite course out in town?
Man, I seriously, I loved when I first played Alice Station for the first time. I was really impressed. Like I said, I would always hear about it, and a good friend of mine would always tell me that they would have these like night tournaments. And I'd be like, what kind of golf course has like night tournaments? But I never went. It was in cash. Like I said, I was at that time, I was living like in Universal City. So I used the like the distance that it was too far. But when I finally had the opportunity to go play out there, everything about it just caught my attention. Like, I love the layout. I love that it had a restaurant attached to it, like an actual restaurant attached to it. I love that everybody there was real friendly. And it was just like, man, like, so not only is the course good, this good, that good, everything was about it was good. So I was like, to me, and the price, of course, like the price was like a given for me. I'm like, it's not cheap, but it's not expensive. So I was like, this is doable for me. And it was like, I can actually get away with coming over here and getting a good play out of here.
And are you saying that because you're coming off of your fresh, I guess your lowest round ever? Is that why? Is that you're trying to lead up to that? Is that what you're saying?
I was trying to reel you in, Andy. I was just trying to reel you in.
Hey, you got me.
I got you, right? Yeah, but the first time I played there, it actually literally kicked my butt. Like, it really kicked my butt. I think like the first time I played out there, I shot like in the high 90s. And again, I was trying to blame the course. I was trying to blame the weather. I was trying to blame everybody but myself. And it was like, nah, I don't know, man. Like, it was you. Like, it was that little space in your head, or it was your game at that time. But the course was in immaculate condition. So it was like, I couldn't blame anybody but myself.
So what'd you shoot a couple of weekends ago?
I shot an 81. An 81, which I've been, man, Andy, if you talk about my worst or whatever, I see someone, whatever, but it was like, from going from 102 on my last Four Bros outing to an 81 was just crazy.
Oh, sorry, let me. Keep talking, bro. I was talking, man.
But, I mean, hey, I get it, bro.
Hey, yeah. Technical difficulties. Technical difficulties. Yeah. So four Bros, right? So you played out there with us Four Bros, and you played with some leagues. You played with some guys. What are your thoughts about the group, dude? And you don't have to just blow smoke up our ass just because you're a member and because you play with us constantly. What is it about the group that kind of just does it for you?
Like I said, man, what I love is, first of all, is the competitiveness, man. Like, everybody there wants to win, but they're like cool about the way they like do about it. Like, again, like, you don't have to worry. Like, again, man, my biggest thing when I go home is like, my focus is on other players. My focus is not on my game. It's like, hey, was that guy fluffing up his ball? Is that guy kicking his ball? Is he giving up? I'm just worried about things because that's just the people that I played with sometimes, whatever gets in my head. But these guys, I know, like, hey man, these guys are legit. Like, they know they want to play legit. And at the same time, it's just like, everybody's just like in a joking manner. That's who I am. Like, I love to joke. Like, I love to clown around. I love the music. I love the drinking. I love just being like just around fellas, like just being out there and just being myself. I don't have to be uptight. I don't have to watch this, watch that. Hey, you're on my backswing. You're on this, you're on that. It's like, hey man, let's just play some golf and have some fun, man. But at the same time, be competitive.
And I think that's kind of, you know, as long as you play golf and with the group, so, you know, cause this isn't the first go around for Four Bros. You know, this is like, we say it's Four Bros tour now, but this is like Four Bros 3.0, you know, you were there at the ground break. You were there at the ground up. You were there for Four Bros 2.0. You were kind of off. You're off the grid. You were off the Four Bros.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And I have to give credit to Four Bros. Because the reason that I was off was because I did have a joint account. And that was one of the stipulations. You couldn't have a joint account on Facebook. And I was like,
For everybody out there, what does that mean, a joint account? So say it.
I don't want to say it.
Say it. It's nothing's OB, bro. Come on.
I mean, and I just wanted to say that, like, it wasn't no trust issue.
No, but did not. That's not what I'm saying. I was saying, what is the joint account? Who did you have the joint account with?
Oh, with my wife. Yeah, with my wife.
Okay, so and that was just kind of a no-no, and so yeah. I'm gonna tell you, dude. You know what? It was really fucked up, right? It was really fucked up how it all went down. Because you know what? I know you're the guest, but I'm gonna tell the story because I was on the other end. So we're at Mission Del Lago, and something happens. You know what? Because you really, a lot of people were like, they always wanted a piece of Brucey. They wanted a piece of Freddie, right? You know what? And you asked for it a lot too. Yeah, you did.
Yeah, trash, bro.
You asked for it a lot. So in the early days, Four Bros 1.0, Brucey had a tendency to like get under people's skin, and they wanted to like not only golf like go at him really hard, they wanted to gamble with him, and they wanted to like kick his ass too, right? They made the golf super personal, right? Like way personal. And so it's myself, Jeremiah, and David Wallner. We were at Mission Del Lago, and I'm getting under his skin, right? I'm getting under his skin, gotcha bad, the way I can normally do it, right? And I don't know if he starts getting mad at me and he starts taking it out on you. And he starts going after you and something. I guess he says something about your wife, right?
He said something about my wife that if I had to get permission.
Yeah, and that's true. But you know, what? There was nothing false about it. Like, you do have to get permission from your wife. She does wait for you in the parking lot to finish your round.
And I get grounded if I lose. If I lose, I get grounded. My allowance gets taken away.
and so he does that. And then all of a sudden, Jeremiah gets pissed off and he says, Brucey shouldn't have a joint account. You know what? He's kicked out. And then you start calling me. And I'm like, I said, bro, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. And I go home and I start telling my wife. It's like, babe, I feel bad about what happened. I said, Brucey got kicked out of the group. And then I start telling her the story. And she goes, you know what? It's your fault. And I said, it's my fault. I didn't kick him out.
The instigator. The infamous instigator. The infamous instigator, bro.
And so then one of the rules is that, and we're starting to talk about it as a board, is because, you know what, early on we had some problems with some of the early members letting their wives kind of be like an active member of the group, and they were starting like rumors and stuff like that. And so, you know what, I guess it was just kind of super taboo to not have a joint account. And we still don't allow that because we want to make sure that you enjoy yourself. And it's great that you have one now, that your wife allows you to have your own account and to be your own man on social media.
Yeah, and that talk was hard, bro. That talk was, I had to do some begging and pleading, bro. It was just like, hey, babe, look, man, I really want to be a part of this group. I like these guys. And it was for our business. She was like, babe, but it's our business. And I was like, babe, hey, it's okay. We could split off. We'll just tag each other from now on. And I got the okay, man. I got the green light. And she was like, okay, babe, if it makes you happy, go ahead and get one. And I was like, all right, 10-4.
All right, so you spoke about it in regards to like our group, that, you know what, we have a lot of guys that are competitive and still make it fun, and you talked about there's about some playing with some cheaters and guys that you have to keep your eye on. Are you saying that there's a lot of those guys you have to keep your eye on back home? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm okay. When I say back home, I don't want for the population of Alice to get offended. I mean, these people know who they are, and we joke about it sometimes. And it's mainly people that are in my circle.
You're backtracking. You're stuttering, dude. You're backtracking, bro.
Yeah, because like I said, I know nothing is OB, and I'm just kind of scared to get some play.
I'm kind of scared.
I'm gonna get some hate mail and stuff, man. But no, man, and it's just like, and we would always use the excuse that like it was Alice. So hey, man, like, hey, you know the way Alice conditions are, like you have to do this. And it was like, hey, man, like when I played with other groups, they would be like, hey, bro, play as it lies. This is how it is, and so on and so on. So I started playing with you guys. I was like, hey, bro, like, okay, enough. And I'm sorry that I'm jumping ahead, but it was like just like the same rule that when you called me out that one time. When I changed balls, right? Remember that one time when we were at Riverside? You said, hey, bro, what are you doing changing balls? And I was like, what do you mean? I can't change balls, bro? Like, and you're like, nah, bro, that's not, like, you can't do that. Which was like, but you were giving it like in a cool way, like not in an asshole way, right? But it was like, over here, it was like, hey, bro, free for all, man. Like, the guys I play with, they don't have not three matching balls, bro. Like that.
They have several, like, they have a putting ball, right? They have a putting ball.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a putting ball. They have a dragon, right? And what the funny thing is like I've gotten good at like I'll tell them, hey man, what kind of ball is you gonna use? Well, I'm using TaylorMade, but hey man, can you be like specific on TaylorMade? Like,
hey, you're dick, bro. Yeah,
you have to be, because it's one of those dudes where the ball goes out and you're like, oh, I found my ball, and I'm like, what was it? Oh, it was a TaylorMade. Yeah, but a what? Like a TP5X? Was it a Aerospeed? Like RBZ? Like what was it?
Ah, cabrón, Aerospeed, RBZ, you're going down, bro.
I'm going old school, bro. I'm going old school.
Just say so it was a Callaway. What was it? It said Warbird on the side of it.
Diablo.
All right, bro. Yeah. Okay, so out of the 17 clubs you have in your bag, which is your favorite GOAT club?
My chipper. Like I said, my chipper to me has been has treated me very well, man. It really has, and it's like I said, it's I think in the long run, it's gonna hurt me, because I don't use my wedges as I should be using them. But at the same time, I know that I was just with my nephew and I was telling him, hey, like there's sometimes you don't have, like when you use your wedges, like do a pump and run, or there's a different positions that you can use it in. And with that stripper that I have, like I said, man, I can pop it up, I can flop it up, I can do knockdown shots. And so to me, it's my go-to. As long as I can put myself within that 120 range, I know that's the first club I'm going to reach for.
So now I know that I'm able to call you out on it. Like, hey, I think that's some rule that I'm going to put, you know, being on the board for four bros, I'm going to put it, if they don't use it in the pros, you can't use it on the course.
Yeah.
And that we're going to keep a fucking eye on you, bro, with 17 clubs. We're going to keep an eye on you.
No. I took them out.
So you shot an 8. Okay, hold on. So you shot an 81 at Alisation. I take it you're in the money. Am I right?
Yeah.
So you're in the money with 17 clubs, an illegal bag, right? So you know what? Man, I'm going to have to bring this up with the guys.
Yeah, dude, no, but it's 100% legal now, bro.
But you know what? We're going to have to go back. I'm going to ask some of the guys in your group if they have pictures maybe of your bag, because we need some evidence.
There's no visible evidence. I didn't do no snaps. I made sure I didn't do no snaps. I didn't make sure nobody had no videos or nothing.
All right. Worst moment on the course?
Man, funny moment, man. I was playing in Alice on hole 15, which is a long link. And I know it's kind of, you want to really understand this, Sandy, but and I had my 4-iron. Again, I had just bought my Dunlop sets. To me, they were everything. And my cousin is a real joker. And he was trying to like scare me with like tapping me with the cart. And I think he hit me harder than he anticipated, and he broke my club. Like he literally literally, I'm like, you know, you stand and you just kind of like lean on your club. He broke my 4-iron, kind of hit my knee a little bit. But I was devastated, because I was like, bro, you just broke my freaking club. I mean, not realizing it was a Dunlop back in the day, right? But it was just like, bro, like, you just threw me off, bro. Like, you just, like, literally almost took out my knee. And that's it. My game was done. Like, I was like, I wanted to quit. Like, I was like, bro, like, I'm out of here, bro. Like, play fair, bro. Like, what's going on, man? Like, why you got to? He was like, hey, my bad, bro, my bad. And I was just like, dude, what kind of shit is that? And it was during a tournament, too, bro. So it was like, what are you doing, bro?
And you know what, that's kind of like, you put me in a place where, you know, I've had guys where they make you feel uncomfortable, and you just like, you're like, you're almost like, really? Like you're really going to do this? Like, that's not like fucking around. That's just like, you're just being like, you're taking it over the top to where it's not even funny. Like, it's not even funny.
Yeah, dude. And like I said, I'm a competitive guy, but like I said, I mean, and it's a known fact. Like I always overanalyze a lot of things, but like I said, I'm easily triggered, and because I'm easily triggered, like everything would like bother me. And I said, you're a perfect witness to when I did that horrible game at Riverside, and you were like, bro, what are you doing, bro? Come out here, like, yeah.
Why don't you let everybody know? Okay, so Freddie has, he already has a hard time with etiquette to begin with, because I guess you know what? And I blame it on your gente. I blame it on the people there in Alice, because it seems like y'all don't know shit about golf etiquette. And I don't care. I'll tell Mike Ayala. I'll tell Leo. I'll tell Ian. I'll tell all those fuckers. All right. I'll tell all those guys. Like, y'all are necio. Like, and I think it might be that, hey, everybody knows everybody mentality. I don't know.
Yeah. I see, and I don't take it as it was like those guys, man. To me, it's my family, bro. Like we, my
okay, family. And so I say that, you know, correction. I mean, those guys that I just spoke about, those dudes are like really cool and they're really legit because they do know a lot about the game of golf. But I'm talking about your inner circle in regards to your cousin, and I'm sure they know those guys really well too.
Oh yeah, dude. I swear, bro. If, going back to Leo and to Mike, if you ask them, bro, if you were to literally ask them, say, "Hey, bro, have you ever played with Arnold and his cousins?" Bro, they'd be like, bro, like they're a joke, bro. Like they, like we'll team up together, and we'll be doing good. And you know how you're supposed to psych out the other team, dude. We'll like literally psych out each other, and like, dude. I have a quick story, dude. We're playing. It was Leo and Mike against me and my cousin, and we're doing good, dude. And like Leo was up, like up in his coming, and we're on 18, bro. And we and Achie and Alice is a par three. And again, you get with Mike, get with Leo, dude, they'll attest to this. And I'm putting, bro. And the rule of thumb saying, like, hey, man, if I tell you, tend the flag, Andy, that means, okay, hey, hold it for me, stand by there. As soon as I do my little putt, remove it and like walk off, right? Or throw it. Well, my cousin's like, I told him, hey, tend the flag for me, bro. I want to just see it. And then once I hit, dude, as it's going in, dude, it's about to fall in. He pulls the flag. As he pulls the flag, that little metal thing hits the ball and pops it out, bro. Pay Mike $100, dude.
It doesn't count. That's not a good putt, bro. Like, gosh.
Yeah, like it. And
no, I said that's not a good putt. Like, damn, dude, why would you do that?
Dude, I'm telling you, bro. And that's it. And we're like, so we just go at it, bro. And Leo and Mike are just like, bro, just give me my money, bro. And y'all fight y'all among yourselves, bro. Yeah, bro. It's embarrassing, bro. Embarrassing, man.
All right. Dude. What was one of your best moments out on the course? Favorite stories?
Favorite stories, I have a lot of them, man. But like I said, two of them would have to be here with Four Bros, where like that one time that I did pretty good at Riverside right before like it closed, and we had like that one outing at Riverside. It was a good story and a bad story. I got cheap and I didn't put in on the extra gross. Oh,
the side games, the optional the side games.
Yeah, right, $20, bro. $20 costing me $120. So I won first in the net, but because I didn't put on this side before, like now they started doing like the whole other thing, I didn't win in this one. So I could have won like $200-some, but because I didn't put in that side bit, I lost in this side bit. So the guy who was second took it first. But that was one of my my first lowest scores, which was like, I think I did like a 79 at Riverside. And that was like, that was like 2 years ago, Andy, and still counting against me on my handicap because I don't play as much.
Well, we take like the last 10 rounds you play, know, and then it's, dude. You know what, like, okay. So for those people that don't know is that in Four Bros, we have like $25 like mandatory buy-in that goes right. to like, you know, your, you know, pays out our places, one through three or top three in each division, you know, like net and gross, right? So six total spots. And then depending on the players, it could be all the way down to four. And for those also, we take that $5 that goes into the CTPs, right? The close to the pins. Well, we do have an extra optional games to where you're able to get, it's like a skins pot to where it's even bigger, right? And so when Freddie says that he was being cheap and he didn't want to get into that extra side skins, well, you know what? He would have been the only one to have gotten that birdie, right? That have gotten that hole.
Yep, bro. And it hurt, bro. Like, and I went home when my wife was waiting for me in the parking lot.
You had your truck that day.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Oh, you remember. I did have my truck in. Yeah, dude. And the first thing I did is I gave her a call and I was like, babe, you won't believe what happened. Like, oh my God, I won. Oh, great, babe. How much did you win? Well, I could have won this, but because I was being
potential cheap, earnings, your potential earnings.
Yeah, dude. So I was trying to make it happen now to try to be in all of it, man. I mean, again, you're just out there to have fun, and I've lost way more. And it's like, bro, what's $20 going to cost you, man?
So you've stuck around with Four Bros through the third regime, which is what we're on right now. What would you say that, I guess, the group is at in regards to like the other previous two, the Four Bros 2.0 and Four Bros 1.0?
Nah, man. I just think that it's more structured, man. Like, and I've always been a structured kind of guy. And now with like having every people in place, knowing what everybody's good at, and like I said, man, like I barely got to know Sergio within like this past year. And I think like having him kind of like be on board and just taking over and everything. I mean, he's just laid everything out. All the details are there. All the rules are there. And before, it was just kind of like, it was basically just like a bunch of guys just getting together. And it was like, well, this was said, but no, this wasn't said. But and there was always no recollection of anything, nothing ever in play. And now it's just, like I said, man, like for the guys that want to know things before ahead of time, it's all laid out for them, man. And then with them moving up on technology, is they're just going up with times, and it's and at no cost. Like that's like the best part about it. Like as they're making the players feel better and just be better, it's not costing the players
any extra.
Yeah.
So are you liking Unknown Golf? I think Unknown Golf is pretty legit, right?
Yeah, no, dude, I love Unknown Golf because, again, you can see your stats. You can see, again, like the live scoring. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing because it's a good thing because you're getting caught up on tour and everything. But the bad thing about it is when you see it, now it starts playing in your head. Hey, I'm one down. Hey, I'm like two down or whatever the case is. And all of a sudden that starts playing a factor in your head. And then you end up either choking or doing whatever. But again, it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Biggest pet peeve on the course?
Biggest pet peeve, I guess, is people that take too long. Man, I do this all the time. I go back to my cousins all the time because they tell me that I make these faces. But it's like,
What are some of the faces you make?
And I make these little noises like, and they can hear me, bro. I think I'm doing silently, but I'm not doing silently, bro. Like, and I make these like ugly, like cocky faces, like. And they hate it, bro. But it's like, bro. Like, I got one cousin that will like measure, and do the wind, and he'll kind of like take like five practice swings, which is okay. I get it, but then just to chill it. It's like that's my biggest pet peeve. It's like, hey, bro, like I don't mind you have your whatever you want to call them, man. But at the same time, too, it's like knock them down. Don't just do all this stuff. Take 10 minutes, and then you just chilly it.
Hey, I was like, man, I was like, I'm not your cousin, but man, I was like, are you talking about me? That sounds like my fucking game right there.
Yeah, oh, shit, bro. Dude.
All right. Which course in town do you think has the best customer service?
Ooh, man.
Because as you've seen, and you follow, you're a member of San Antonio Golfers, you see that lately it's just been like so much shit talking, right? Like so much shit talking.
Yeah.
And it gets already annoying, dude. Like it's like some people just, they already know how certain courses are, and like they want to go there and they think it's just like they're going to get a different result.
Yeah, and see, like my biggest thing on that is like people who just want like either just to like again instigate or whatever, but it's like people who play maybe like once a month and then they expect to go to a course not knowing how San Antonio's going, not knowing what's going on, all that kind of stuff. And the first thing they want to do is like just start up a post and then just have comments on there, right? And it's like compared to the guys that, hey, they understand times, they understand. Like they have like reasons to talk about things, and they can compare and say, well, hey, this one course, the greens look like horrible, but the course right next to it is looking a lot better. They're coming from the same water source, so on. And that's like, oh, okay, like I can really take their post, because it's like, man, you have some points. Like you got some legitimate points compared to somebody that just talking about Ricky Dinks. But no, man, I believe, like, again, going back to Alice Station, Miss Laura Reed, like I said, so for my church, they had a big, they had the first annual golf tournament, and thanks to Four Bros and all the friends that I've made there, Laura was the first one who volunteered and offered this, and then Ken Buckler was a good friend of mine, and he was able to get some, help me out on that stuff, man. But now I've been going to Willow a lot, and Willow's been looking like a lot better, and like their front office has been helping me out and being real courteous and not really being too anal about things, and that's really what I can say about right now, as far as from some of the courses that I've been playing.
And I think that's huge. Is that it's always about how you're felt once you walk through that door. Because have you ever had those times as being, you know, being a Mexican or being a guy that might not look like the prototypical golfer? Like, do you have you had those times where you've walked through the door and you're just like, you know what? If I didn't want to play golf, I would just turn around and walk out.
Yeah, dude. And it's I don't know if I want to say the course or not, but I know it's on the northwest side, kind of way out there on like Cows Healy, somewhere around there. But yeah, I mean, if that isn't enough, right?
I have no idea where that course is. Yeah.
But yeah, man. Like, I felt this kind of like again, being a public course, being a trail course, kind of like I felt like if I didn't belong, or if I was like being like looked at, or like if I was being, it just felt a little different for me. And it was like, okay. And then I started using the excuse that, it's just too far for me, so I won't even look at it. I won't even go. And then like, again, like the course at that time that I went wasn't in the best of shape. So that kind of gave me some excuses on not to go. But yeah, man, I was just getting bad vibes. And then as I started talking to other people and other golfers and just people in the groups, it was like, oh man, did you feel the same way? I was like, dude, I felt the same way. So I knew that it wasn't just my intuition. I knew that it wasn't the way that I was coming off, or if I was dressed a certain way or acting a certain way. I was like, hey man, I'm just like this guy, and he got the same feeling too. So I think it's just something going on there.
And I think so too. And I think, you know, the course you're talking about is, I'll say it, is Cedar Creek. And you know what? Yeah. I had some issues too. And I know we've spoke about it, and that was like several years ago. And I think the last time I was there, I haven't been there recently. The last time I was there, this one of the same guys that had given me shit before was like way more accommodating, way nice. We had the Bob Lasso out there. Like I think last year we had the Bob Lasso out there last year or the previous year or something like that. And you know what? He was a lot more accommodating, a lot more friendly. And I think it's just, you know, maybe some complaints, some reviews might change some things, you know, management, yeah, leadership, but I haven't been there lately, but man, a lot of courses are looking freaking green right now. And it's a good time. It's a good time to be a golfer in San Antonio right now.
Oh, tell me about it, man. Tell me about it. And like you said, man, like when I was at that course was like, maybe like about like a year ago. And so that's when I was getting like those bad vibes. I haven't been there since. But yeah, man, like, you're right, dude. Like, that's why, like, when I made the move up here and I started picking up golf more often, I was like, man, like, I'm pretty good here, man. Like, there's a lot of golf courses. They're not too expensive. They're not without my range. And it was like, and I think San Antonio would be a good place for me to golf, man.
What course in town is a course that you haven't played that is really, really high on your list?
Of course, man. It's a given TPC. And it's funny, man, like, I actually just got an invite. I know. Tell me about it. I mean, it's like, I'm saving my pennies for that, man. It's like, Father's Day is coming up. So hopefully my wife hears me and she kind of maybe like looking through the cameras here and can kind of maybe get me around out there. But yeah, man, it's like, I've been out there, of course, for the Villa Open, but never played it. And it's just like, man, that's like a course that you have to just one time just go play it and say, hey, man, I walked the same course as Ricky and Rory and all these other people that have been out there, and just like, man, like, I played that same hole. And so the next time I do go to the Valero, I can kind of play these scenarios in my head and be like, oh yeah, when I was there on 17, I drove it, or I used a 3-wood and I got this far or whatever. So that's just, to me, one of my biggest ones is that I want to play TPC so bad.
What were your thoughts on the Saudi buying into the PGA golf, or making buying into the entity between them, PGA Tour, the PIV, you know, or the PIF, the, you know, Pacific Investment Fund, and DP World Tour. What are your thoughts on that whole thing?
Dude, man, like, not to go down any rabbit holes, like, I've been kind of like looking at some of these conspiracies and all that kind of stuff, man. But no, man, it's just like, I was kind of upset with the PGA, right? The whole Rory thing. Like, I love Rory, but at the same time, it was like, hey, Rory, man, like, these other golfers are not as fortunate as you. Like, hey, if I was not one of the top 50 golfers and I got offered so much to go to live, I would say, hey, Rory, hey, thank you, man. I love the PGA, but I got to go with that's going to feed my family. Hey, man, I'm not usually on the top 50. These guys are giving me some money. So I like the fact that they preached a lot about the players, And then they talk so bad about Liv. And then all of a sudden to go from like a total 360 or total 180, I'm sorry. And then just be like, oh no, like, hey, everything's is good, man. So I wasn't like too happy about that. And as far as most of these golfers, and then, like the way they found out, Andy, the way they found out, it's like saying like getting, it's like a girl says that I got broken up by a text. Like, who wants to get broken up by a text? Can you at least confront me and tell me?
Hey, can you at least?
You know what I mean?
Hey, I don't know, man. Sometimes a text, you know what? I wouldn't mind it. I'm like, hey, save me some gas. Save me some heartbreak.
You know what? I don't know.
But, and see, and I think one of the things that doesn't sit well with me about the whole thing is that, you know, they talk a lot about the whole 9/11 thing and being being from a military family. You know, I know your dad was in the military. My dad was in the military. Yeah. Proud military family. You know, my family, my dad's family touched, you know, four different sides of the armed forces, right? You know, Army, Marines, Navy, and Coast Guard, right? And so, like we're just, I mean, we love our first responders, military. I mean, damn, right? Like, we love our country. And I think the thing is that was so unfortunate is that why, I don't know why, Jay Monahan from the PGA had to bring them into this. Like, he had an opportunity to kind of like leave them out of it, you know, because hey, nobody brought him into it. I mean, nobody brought him into it, but you know, he had to make that a moot point. And then, you know what, like a lot of hearts were broken. And you know what, he didn't even say he was sorry. Like, he didn't even say he was sorry. He just said, this is what's best for the game right now. And like, I just I don't know how this guy still had his job to begin with, because I was saying it like, dude, for like ever since they had the opportunity to take a meeting with Norman, you know, and like, you know, what was initially before Liv was the, you know, Premier Golf League, right? The PGL. Right. And they didn't even want, he didn't even return calls. He didn't want to take a meeting. When I was out covering the Valero Open, this past Texas Valero Open, you know, there was rumblings that Jay Monahan wasn't even returning calls to the tournament directors of Valero. Like, and I'm just like, because they were talking about, hey, Valero's got some money, because you know what, the list of the golfers was pretty weak this year. It was pretty watered down for the list of golfers.
Yeah.
And you know what, some opportunities were given to a lot of Corn Ferry guys, and that was a good thing. But you know what, I think there was only like two guys in the top 50 that were at that, you know, and I think it was Hideki and it was Terrell Hatton. I think those are the two highest ranked guys there. And you know what, like, dude, like, call somebody back, like email back somebody back. Yeah. Like, and I think a lot of players and tournament directors kind of like have a bad taste in their mouth from Jay.
Dude, talking about, and as you're talking about that, that's exactly like what I saw, was like, he was emphasizing on, like, he wanted to make that like a big point to the media, to everybody watching, was like, hey, you remember 9/11, hey, you probably had family there, and just kind of like making people like kind of like flashback and be like, yeah, like it's kind of like one of those like 3 a.m. when they like, I heard it from Kevin Hart say like, hey, do you like your job, and you're like, oh, I don't, you like my, and they start talking to you because you're at your crucial moment. And that's how I felt like he was approaching people, was like, he was making you kind of like focus on the bad things, and then all of a sudden come back around and be like, oh no, man, like we're all good. And it was just like, wow, man, it's like you went deep in there and you made people think a certain way, and then you just turned your back on them. And I mean, we all know money is a big thing. And I mean, I guess maybe in time we'll know how everything played out and how much he got, or if even he got anything in return for all this. But yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It's a weird time, and I've been listening to so many podcasts about it just to get more details, just so I'm in the know in regards to what comes out of my mouth, especially being, you know, a voice in San Antonio golf and in South Texas golf, right? And I think one of the things that I've been hearing and that I've been reading about is that, you know, they're talking about how this whole topic, when the whole Liv everything came out, like friendships were lost over this, like, you know, like feelings were hurt, like things were said, like, and I'm just like, hold on, this is right. And you know what? And I said that this could be good for golf. I said, man, this could be good, because you know what? What happened was, is that the players ultimately, you know what? Some players, hey, they got the money, and the PGA were kind of holding some things back. And I thought this was a good thing. And I still think it's a great time for freaking golf, dude. Because you know what it's doing again? Is that after COVID, hey, a lot of stuff has kind of cooled off. People are still playing golf at a high rate. But you know what this did right now? It brought everybody back to golf being like a number one topic.
Yeah, it was, and it brings back the like competitive, like the hungriness. Like these guys were just getting like relaxed. Like they knew. Like it was, yeah. Like, and I mean, exactly what you just said. It was like, I agree with it 100%. And it was just like, and then as far as like the payouts and all that other stuff, I felt like, man, like these guys weren't getting like incentivized. Like there was no incentive, really. Just saying like, hey, I won the Masters, but it was like, man, like for what you did and what you accomplished, like it wasn't that big of a payout, or you could have gotten more money on this end, or all that kind of good stuff.
All right, bro. The last thing, dude. Thank you so much for your time tonight, man. And I appreciate it. I know you're a busy guy, man. But the last thing, who are you playing your final round of golf with?
I've been waiting for this question because I was listening to your podcast, and that's the one question that always gets me. But yeah, man, I would have to say Tiger. I'm a avid Tiger fan. And Alex, if you're hearing me, I don't care, man. Tiger is my number one, and then yeah, I hate when he comments about Tiger, but no, man, like I said, Tiger, I would have to say like my nephew, he's been picking up golf, and I would want him to be like one of my foursomes, and I would say like, the fourth would be kind of hard, Andy. I don't know, man. I would. Nah, you got me on that one. On the fourth one, man, I would have to say. My godson, man, like my godson and my nephew, those are my two boys. They're my everything, man. And so I think them too, and Tiger, man, would just kind of make it for me, man.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, bro, for being on the show tonight and, man, and being real and being honest, man. You know, I'm going to text Leo and Mike. I'm going to make sure they watch and they know that I put them on Front Street, but you backed me off.
But I think now, bro, I think you and me, I think we can get him, Andy. I think we can get him.
I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. We got to keep our eye on Leo, dude. You know, there was some questionable. the last time I played with him at the Hyatt, there was, you know what, he took three off the tee. And so, you know what, he got a birdie on that hole, apparently. I still don't know how. And he even said it. He goes, hey, bro, don't come in that clubhouse and saying about that I took three out the tee because there's already question rumblings about me, blah, blah, blah.
No, dude, his putting game is just – even in his bad days, bro, like his putting game and his wedge shots, and he's gotten a lot better at his drives and his iron play, but his inside game and his putting was something that you could just not stop, bro. You couldn't stop it. But I think that I think we got him, man. I'm gonna throw a little shout out right here, bro. Mike and Leo, if you're out there, man, give us a call, bro.
All right, guys. That's Freddie. That's Arnold. That's Brucey Garcia. Oh, right here. There you go. That's him right there. Thank you so much for being on the show, brother. I so appreciate your time, man.
Got you, bro. Later.
All right, y'all. Thanks so much for joining the show. Please continue to support the podcast. We got some great stuff coming out. This episode is going to be out. I will be coming fresh off of a media day out at my hometown in one of my favorite courses, Corpus Christi Country Club. And I'm going to have some videos in regards to that. I'm playing with Fairway Ed. That's right. ET, my dad, Eddie Torres. Please continue to support the show. Continue to support Four Bros Tour. Remember, in the game of life, nothing is illegal.